three Republican state senators struck a deal with Governor Scott Walker on Friday to pass the full state budget in the Senate. The budget was originally due on July 1st, but many issues held up the bill for the past 11 weeks. It now heads to the governor's desk.
Molly Beck is a state capitol reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. Molly, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Molly, let's start with the three Republican state senators who were kind of negotiating to the bitter end there. Who were they?
So the senators that were more reluctant than their colleagues were Senators Chris Kapinga, Steve Noss, and Dewey Strobel. A fourth senator, David Craig, also did not want to vote for the bill and ultimately didn't. But the three that kind of struck a deal with the governor were Kapinga, Noss, and Strobel.
And what kind of issues were the four and then the three of them raising with the budget?
So they had a number of issues that some were related to they wanted to expand the private school voucher program. Other concerns they had had to do with oversight on the Department of Transportation and making some changes there. Part of the the deal that they struck with the governor was to move up the repeal of the prevailing wage for state construction projects to take effect immediately, rather than have a delay when that happens. The governor also said he would agree to veto changes that were included in the budget that would have removed local oversight of rock quarries used for public works or private construction projects. He also agreed to eliminate a multimillion-dollar study into interstate tolling for the state as well.
So no toll road study. these lawmakers in the Senate, they'd wanted to renegotiate this within the legislature. This is at a time, though, when the Assembly had already passed their version of the budget, so they would have had to come back to work, in effect. How did lawmakers in the Assembly, especially Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, react to the holdouts in their fellow Republican holdouts in the Senate?
Right. The Republicans in the Assembly, these two houses have been feuding all summer, but at the end there, he disagreed with that approach to getting the budget worked out and resolved finally. He said that their list of requests for the governor amounted to a ransom list, and said things like they were holding the state hostage. He also said when the Assembly took up the budget bill that he made it pretty clear that he did not want to come back and vote on the bill again.
Ultimately, they made this deal with Governor Walker to veto some of the things they were worried about. So why was this the resolution, ultimately?
I think, the budget has been, it's been late. It's been almost 3 months late at this point. I think everybody really wanted to see it get wrapped up. And while we haven't seen the full list of vetoes that the governor has agreed to make, his veto message hasn't been released yet. He did say that he was willing to do these changes, and he announced the changes that I talked about before because he agreed with them. He didn't have any issue with them. So I think they got to a point where they could agree, and they all wanted to get it done.
Talking to Molly Beck from the Wisconsin State Journal, looking at the long budget process. Apparently, light at the end of the tunnel now. It has passed both houses of the legislature, now waiting for Governor Walker and his veto pen. I want to give a listen to one of the holdouts we've been talking about in the Senate, Delafield Republican Senator Chris Kapinga. Here's a listen to what he said about this, what looks like, resolution.
I don't think anybody is extremely happy. Nobody loves this budget from the three who are going to vote yes. But again, it got us close enough to where we want to get this done, get the state moving again.
Not exactly a high five and a victory lap, at least from these Senate holdouts.
Right. And Senator David Craig, who did ultimately vote no on the budget, his big issue with the budget was the spending levels. There's a lot of new spending for schools, for example, in this budget. And his complaint with it is that it needed to, that the spending levels needed to be reduced significantly.
Now, there were Republican majorities in both chambers of the legislature, but there were Democrats there, too, at this Senate vote. Did they vote as a block against the budget?
Yes. The Democrats all voted against the budget, and there were five Republican members of the Assembly that also voted against the budget. And those members were kind of from similar places as the senator and senators who initially opposed and the one that did vote against the budget, and they're from the very conservative counties around Milwaukee.
So you had some Republicans voting with Democrats against the budget for basically opposite reasons,
right,
I imagine.
Right, yes.
And so what were Democrats saying about the budget? What was their messaging?
Their message, they use the word rigged a lot. That was their message, that they felt that this budget was giving more to people that didn't need it and didn't give enough to people that didn't. There were a couple tax proposals that the governor made in his initial budget proposal that would have helped out poor families, and the budget committee got rid of those in favor of some tax proposals that benefit wealthier individuals in Wisconsin. So that was their message. They kind of honed in on that there was, while there were, you know, there was a lot more money for schools, which is something that they've asked for years. They said that A, didn't make, you know, didn't make up for the cuts that had been passed in previous budgets, and also these other changes that they felt weren't fair.
Now, the budget is the better part of, you know, what the state government does. Almost everything gets covered in that. And this is the last budget before a big midterm election, a little over a year from now. What's Republican messaging as far as, you know, this being a document that they're ready to run on next
year?
Right.
I think when the governor first proposed this budget, he was really focusing on the amount, the school funding level that he was proposing in the budget. There's been a lot of polling in recent years that there's a lot of public support for adding dollars for public schools, and I think that proposal will be something that you might see on the campaign trail as he, you know, gears up for another reelection bid, especially with his opponent, who is the state superintendent, Department of Public Instruction. I think that will be a prevailing message in the campaign trail.
One of many potential opponents, of course. But, yeah, right. The most prominent at the statewide level for now.
Right.
We're talking about the state budget, which just passed in the state legislature last week after an 11-week delay. Molly Beck with us now from the Wisconsin State Journal.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the state budget that passed? What do you think of the priorities reflected in that budget? And what about the tax dollars? Where do you want them to go? What did you make of this 11-week delay? Did it bother you or not so much? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe get to your calls in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our conversation now about the state budget with Molly Beck from the Wisconsin State Journal.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the budget as it stands now, passed by both houses of the legislature, waiting for Governor Walker's vetoes and his signature ultimately? What do you think of the priorities in that budget? Are you happy the Foxconn incentive deal passed? News on that today, too. Call in at 800-642-1234 or post your thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's bring on a caller. Now we've got Alice on the line in Sheboygan. Alice, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
I am not happy with the budget. Very unhappy because of the lack of guarding our waters in Wisconsin. Particularly, I come from a small town, Sparta. I've been a transplant to Sheboygan for years, but Sparta has a plant called Decamat that had dealings with Foxconn, and a retired executive from there, who was a very good friend, visited the plant at the time that Decamat was working with them, and said he'd never seen such horrible pollution. It ran in the streets. I know that they have human rights problems. He said it would be a bad fit for Wisconsin.
Alice, thanks for the call. And Molly, also along with this budget, now the governor signed the Foxconn incentive package just a little earlier today.
Right.
So now negotiations start, right?
Right. So by the end of the month, the Governor Walker and the chairman of Foxconn have to sign the contract that kind of starts the whole process that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. Hopefully that will mean that, you know, the construction, they want the construction to start by next year on this facility. They still haven't picked a specific site for this you know, $10 billion factory that they're proposing to build. But Governor Walker has said that he hopes that gets going by next year, the construction of that. So the contract, it doesn't have legislative approval once it's signed. The bill was signed by Governor Walker with a couple vetoes in the language that the legislature included, but the contract that is ultimately signed will not come back to the legislature.
And getting back to the budget for a moment, the sticking point all along had been transportation.
Right.
How are we going to pay for road construction and repair? Do we raise gas taxes? What did we end up with after all these extra weeks of trying to hash
right.
that out?
Yeah, for weeks, the Republicans in the Assembly and the Senate were divided on borrowing, basically, and if the state can handle borrowing anymore, if there's not a new revenue stream and a way to pay down the debt that we already have for roads. The transportation fund has a nearly $1 billion shortfall right now. And what ended up happening is that there was $400 million in borrowing that was included in the budget. And they're going to impose a new fee on drivers of hybrid and electric vehicles. So starting next year, drivers of hybrid vehicles will be paying a $75 fee annually, and electric vehicle drivers will be paying a $100 annual fee starting January 1st.
And is this one that people came out of the legislature feeling happy about, the transportation deal such as it was?
I don't think the day that the Finance Committee voted on it, neither the Senate or the Assembly leaders that are leading that committee sounded very excited about what they were doing, but they, you know, were happy that they finally agreed on something because it had been so long since they had been at the table. So I think everybody on both sides wants to find a more sustainable solution and didn't think this is it.
So that we'll probably be talking about this again in 2 years
right,
when the
right.
process starts again.
Right.
And then moving on to another issue that went back and forth, some K through 12 education. There had been some cuts in the past. Governor Walker adding funding to public education and charter schools and voucher schools in this budget. Mm-hmm. Where did we end up when it comes to education funding?
So the final number in new spending, everybody had been talking about $649 million. That's what the governor had initially proposed in new spending for schools, and the budget committee included $639 million dollars in new spending. And the voucher programs, they will see an increase too, which is just how the law works, is if more money is sent to public schools, more money gets sent to the voucher schools. But they also expanded the statewide voucher program. They raised the income limits for that program. So wealthier families, not, I don't mean wealthy families, but wealthier families than who are eligible now will be able to get a voucher and attend a private, their students will be able to attend a private school using the voucher. The legislature also expanded the voucher program for students with disabilities as well.
And we talked earlier about those Republican holdouts. They wanted even more expansion of voucher mm-hmm. programs. Is that something the governor had committed to in his veto agreement with them?
He has not said that he will do that. I'm not sure if the way the veto process works, he can change a number that way. But we also haven't seen, like I said before, the complete veto message. So there might be something related to that there. What they want is 300% of the federal poverty level. That would be the income limit. And I believe for a family of four, that would be around $73,000 a year annual salary. And what they increased it to in this budget was 220%, which is around $54,000 a year for a family of four. So that they want to see that expansion. And it's unclear how many more, you know, vouchers that means, but that would be the income limits for it.
I want to bring on another caller. Paul is with us in Lincoln County. Paul, hi.
Good afternoon.
What do you want to tell us about, Paul?
Well, I am a county board supervisor here in Lincoln County, and tomorrow evening out of something akin to desperation, we are going to be voting on a wheel tax, thanks to the, I don't know what to call it, indecision or the decision of the legislature and the governor. I'm now in my third term on the county board, and every one of those years for us with our annual budget has been squeeze time, and it just, the squeeze just gets worse and worse and worse. And we're at the point now where there are some people who are actually proposing virtually the elimination of our university extension departments. It's a catastrophe, and it just there seems to be no end in sight.
Paul, thanks for the call. Yeah, local governments obviously very interested in what came out of the transportation budget. Mm-hmm. Is that an issue that came up much, how local governments were dealing with road funding?
Yeah, the budget does cut some funding for resurfacing, about $80 million, not a lot, but some. And I mean, that's always been a concern that people talk about when this whole debate has been going on for all summer and years, I guess you could say. Do local governments have enough money to fix up the roads in the way that they need to? And is the state providing the share that they feel they need?
We'll leave it there for now, Molly. It's all over, but the partial veto pen of the governor. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking to Molly Beck. She's a state capitol reporter at the Wisconsin State Journal. She joined us today for an update on the full budget, 11 weeks overdue, but now it is passed in both houses of the state legislature, now on its way to the governor's desk.